haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Fundamentally Sound podcast is back. What a very fitting song. Ben Brust here, Bobby Regan, back from the honeymoon and his marriage. Tell me about it. I'm dying to know. Just give me some details. How'd it go? Any crazy wedding stories? How was the honeymoon? Are you fatter from drinking and eating all too much at the all-inclusive vacation?
I'm for sure fatter. Like that, there's no doubt. Like everyone that we kind of met, so we went to St. Lucia. It was really cool because the resort we stayed at, it was like 95% honeymooners, all within the same age. You know, everyone's from like 25 to 35. So everyone's just in the same mindset, and every guy was just in the same mindset of, I'm drinking from sunup to sundown, and I'm eating every possible thing in this place.
Yeah, so like that's the best part about the all-inclusive is –
right, right.
Is the eating part. I mean, you could say the drinking, obviously, because it saves money, but the eating part is the best part.
Right, no, the eating part saves more money, honestly.
It probably does, and because you probably have four meals when you do an all-inclusive. You got breakfast, you got lunch, you got dinner, and you have wasted, like, 1 o'clock, some sort of midnight snack.
I disagree. There are five meals.
Where's the fifth one?
It's breakfast, lunch, dinner number one, dinner number two, and then the late night snack.
Yeah, it's not even midnight, probably. It's probably like 2 a.m.
It's probably earlier because you got to remember, like, you're in the sun all day and drinking all day. Like, no, not a lot of people make it to 2 a.m.
All right, so
most nights it's like 12:30 you're in bed.
I'm concluding then for the larger population, there's five meals. For us trying to stay somewhat fit, there's four meals.
It's too hard, though, because, like, so the resort we stayed at, there was, I want to say, like 10 restaurants, and each one was something different. So it was like an Italian restaurant. There was a pizza place. There was a British/sports pub that had like your wings and your burgers, things like that. There was the formal one, which was like a French restaurant. There was a Mediterranean seafood. There was
there better be Mexican.
No, I actually was like the only one that they didn't have, like in terms of
what
kind of food. They didn't really have a Mexican, no.
How do they not have, like, tacos? I know you were in, St. Lucia? I know like, your Cancun resort or something like
right.
that. But
I mean, they
got to have tacos.
Honestly, as much as I love Mexican food, I didn't even think about it when I was there. Because they had, like, hibachi, sushi, and then, like, the local, like, kind of, like, Caribbean-type food.
What is that Caribbean-type food?
Like, it's spicy. It's more on the – it's a lot of spices.
I just immediately think of like ethnic food from Along Came Polly.
Right, right. It's not like that. It's more, it's like, you know, it's like Creole food. So a lot of spices, a lot of rice, fish, or jerk chicken type food. I had a lot of jerk chicken because that's like what they're known for.
I hope you did have a lot of jerk chicken out there.
So it's one of those two. It's like what was nice about the all inclusive is, if there's something on the menu you just wanted to try, like, I've never had snapper before. And one of the restaurants had, like, a snapper filet type thing. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to, like, just bring me out a snapper with my, you know, a plate of that with my dinner because I want to try it. Because it's zero cost to me in trying it.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'm glad you had fun.
Man, it
you
was missed, awesome. It's
you missed a lot, though. There was a lot that happened while you were gone.
It was brutal. I made a promise that like I wouldn't be like on Twitter. I wouldn't blog anything, and like I was really trying to stay away from just like the phone and everything like that, just because it was the one time to like truly get away and just enjoy like drinking nonstop. And I remember when the first thing I missed was Thad Matta, and I caught it at the very end. So the ESPN there, it's like the Venezuelan, I want to say, ESPN that they pick up maybe as like their primary So it's all in English, but it's like they show a lot of like cricket, soccer, and
baseball probably too.
Yeah, a lot of baseball, but it's really slow going across the bottom. And it was like frozen on Mata, Ohio State. And I was like, what the hell happened?
What?
So finally, like I took the phone and was just like, I need to go to like CBSSports.com because ESPN was all in Spanish. I couldn't switch it over at the time on the phone. I was like, I didn't even know what the hell happened.
Yeah, so, well, you know now.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that makes sense. I understand what happened now.
You missed Ohio State. You missed Butler. You missed – I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to throw the NHL Finals in there.
No, I did not.
The NHL Finals. Why did I say the Stanley Cup Finals?
I was able to watch that.
Oh, you were?
So
okay.
The British pub was like the sports bar, and they had the Stanley Cup on every night there was a game, and they had the NBA. The St. Lucia's really into the NBA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of odd.
Basketball is like their third most popular sport behind cricket and soccer. But, yeah, like all the – like.
Did you watch the finals games?
I watched game – what I watch? I watched game two because we were still in Baltimore at the time. Game three I watched a little bit in the beginning. Then we actually went into town for like a street party that we were told about. Like we went off the resort with some people on Friday night, so I missed like the legendary end of the game three, and then game four. No, that was game. I watched game three at the pub.
Game three was Durant hitting the three on LeBron.
I watched that game four. I missed most of that. Was the Friday night,
and that was when they scored 86 points in the first half.
Yep, and then game five, I watched the first quarter and a half, and then I was on a plane. We were on our flight.
Yeah, dude, it was nuts. And the refs were ridiculous. LeBron averaged a triple-double, and still people are talking like he's
– he should have done more.
A disappointment and should have done more. And I have my opinions about LeBron and things that he could do better, but I still saw everything I needed to see to know that in my heart and in my mind – even, I know that he is the GOAT. 100%. I still 100% believe that. Because he's still yet to have everything get put on the table. He still has so much more to go. He is clearly still in his prime. I don't know where you still stand. You obviously missed it.
He's one of the two best basketball players to ever play the game.
Here's what makes me mad. And here's what makes me mad. Is the world we live in with social media – with the reactionary society, with the embrace debate nonsense of Fox Sports 1 and ESPN's First Take. Literally, people just come out of the woodworks to try and make debate over nothing because it gets ratings and it makes people retweet them and talk to them. It's all done for the nonsense and not actually for the truth of the matter. And I can't stand it.
Well, that – and it's like – I mean, he is an easy guy to hate if you really want to, but...
Have you seen any documentaries of him?
But I'm saying,
he's, like the easiest person to like.
No, but I'm saying for, like, the casual fan, like, he's easy to hate because he is so good. He's been in the national spotlight for 15 years now, longer than, 16 years now. So I understand why people still hold, like, the decision against him and all that shit, but... I've completely switched on LeBron. Like, I hated LeBron, but mostly just because I hate one of my best friends who's from Cleveland. I never wanted him happy. That was the only reason, like, I hated LeBron. I've, like, completely switched, and I'm like, I'm all in on LeBron now. And, like, whatever. I guess I can let my friend be happy once in a while for his life.
So you're all in on LeBron because of that.
That's not years.
That's like, not helping. On, that's I not helping my LeBron. Argument at all.
Well, it's just, like, I always – it was one of those – he was one of those guys where I was like, he is the best player in the league.
He's clearly the best player in the world, no doubt about that.
Right.
The problem is when you get into the argument of who's the best player of all time, then it goes into the finals argument. Then it goes into, well, they didn't have to play in a hand-check era, and they don't play defense like the Bulls did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then but then I could say the same thing about when LeBron beat when he was on Miami, when they beat the Spurs.
Yeah. I mean, they also – Jordan didn't see defenses like we have today.
It's complete.
He hasn't seen players like we've seen, like we have today.
The player's skill level is ridiculous. I think the skill level that there is today makes it so you can't hand check. Because when they do hand check, it's so obvious because these players are so skilled.
Well, not only that, but it's just the size, like the sheer size and athleticism of these guys.
I mean,
LeBron is the size of Karl Malone. Jordan is not guarding LeBron. LeBron can guard Jordan. Like, and it's not like to discourage, like, I don't want to disparage anything with Jordan because, again, he's one of the two best players to ever play this game. It's just, I hate, like, why can't we just agree that these are the two best players? Whoever he thinks better, that's fine.
Because of the world we live in
today. I know.
Well, let's just stop right now because I think we've done this enough. And there's
me and you are on the same page with LeBron.
There's more to get to, and we're on the same page. Despite what happened in the finals, it doesn't change how I feel. It enhances it even more because at the end of the day, I looked at the roster. It's obviously not the 2007 roster they have with Cleveland with Delonte West and
that team was so bad.
Boobie Gibson,
Zildjurnus Ilgauskas, Sasha Pavlicek.
That roster sucked. I mean, this roster is clearly
Eric
better.
Eric Snow, I think, started on that team.
Eric Snow was, oh my gosh. So that roster obviously was worse than this year's. But at the end of the day, look at the five that Golden State had out there and how they play together and how they can space the floor versus what LeBron had to work with.
Right, because here's the thing. This showed me a lot more about how good the Warriors are.
Yes, agree.
The Warriors are really, really damn good team.
They were better, like way better than the team that set the all-time regular season record last year.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
it's kind of stating the obvious, but like if people look back 10 years from now and we're like, oh, that Warriors team, they set the all-time regular season record. That team was amazing, even though they lost the finals.
They were amazing, too. They were amazing. This team's just better.
This team is just unguardable. Yeah. Unguardable. Hands down.
The other thing, it shows a lot about LeBron. I mean, it literally takes two MVPs, four All-Stars, and a team like this to make LeBron look human. And by human, I mean he's still average a triple-double.
So I'm gonna make excuses for LeBron right now. I said I was going to stop, but I'm not. I'm going to make excuses for why he was not able to beat the Warriors with this roster. Number one being the spacing of the floor. He has guys on his team that don't create driving lines for him. If you think about where they put guys, so if you have Kevin Love at the corner, that's good spacing. You got Tristan Thompson out there. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing on offense at all. You got Kyrie out there. Yeah, he's okay for spacing, but he's not a catch-and-shoot knockdown guy. He's like a hit a three off of a rhythm dribble. So he's someone you can kind of help off of, if that makes sense. Then you got J.R. Smith, who averaged 1.5 points per game until game 4 and 5. Kyle Korver couldn't hit a shot to save his life. Normally I would use him before the argument. But then who else do you have coming in? Darren Williams?
Yeah, the thing was, to me, it's more the bench than anything else. Like,
yeah.
Like, Kyrie's fine. Like, Kyrie's a he can catch and shoot, no problem. Tristan's fine because you didn't need the post guy.
He can catch and shoot, no problem. But my point being is he is a guy who is very dominant with the ball.
Right.
And so is LeBron.
In his hands. But
whereas Klay, Steph, and KD can move and be free and don't have to necessarily have it to create space and create offense. So if you put Draymond, KD, Klay and Steph on the perimeter and have Zaza doing whatever he wants, kind of getting offensive rebounds, that just flows like a million times better as an offense versus what LeBron's working with.
Yeah, I mean, the bigger problem to me was the bench.
Like, it was the bench, for sure.
Like, Kyle Korver just sucked ever since. Like, he was supposed to be one of, like, the, quote, saving graces. He sucked.
He was the saving grace until, like, the Eastern Conference Finals.
Darren Williams did not do anything.
He was a laughing stock at the finals.
Right. And then, you know,
Tristan Thompson did not play well for the majority of the finals.
Right, no, he did. But then when you look at Golden State and they bring in Sean Livingston, who
is just perfect for that system.
Right. Right. And you know, and even like they brought in guys like Patrick McCall who come out of and just fit the system and fit the flow.
Exactly. Like there is nothing LeBron could have done with that team to have beaten that Warriors team.
No. I mean, LeBron put up a triple-double. He may have had to put up, like, 40, 18, and 12 to win three games.
And we all know LeBron isn't that scoring guy. That's just
He can be, but that's not right.
He can be, but I don't think he's most effective.
No, I mean, he's a player. And what's scary is, like, we say that, but at the same time, he is always, like, top eight in scoring every year, year in and year out.
And efficient as can be.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty efficient, especially since he started developing a better three-point shot.
Yeah, now that he's got a solid jump shot that he trusts, he's practically unguardable on the offensive end.
I mean, he is. Like, they're...
So that just sucks. That
was Andre Iguodala won a finals MVP for allowing, holding him to a triple-double 3 years ago.
I forgot about him coming off the bench, too, for them.
Well, he started this year.
Oh, he started. That's right.
No, he didn't.
It was Draymond, KD, Clay, Steph, and Zaza.
You're right.
So regardless, it was an entertaining game three, game four, and game five. One and two kind of sucked. Just kind of wish Cleveland would have stole one, but they didn't have a chance on the road.
Yeah, I mean. Whatever. Like, it kind of sucks. Like, everyone wanted this to go
seven. The NBA final. Everyone wanted to go seven because the NBA playoffs were so bad.
Right.
In terms of the competitive landscape.
Right. That, and it was the finals that everyone wanted.
And we can spend some more time, and I think we should, talking about a little bit about next year and what the NBA can do and what different teams should do to try and compete against the Warriors next year, because they're not going away.
Here's what the NBA needs to do. I tweeted this out today, and I'm sold on it. Everyone's bitching about how the NBA is set up and how no one will be able to compete with the Warriors. So you get rid of all the teams. You draw 32 names out of a hat from starters in the NBA. They are now your captains, and you have to draft teams like the YMCA. Tell me that would make for great television.
It makes for good pickup games.
I mean, wouldn't that make for great television to see, like, oh my God, is LeBron going to take Carmelo, or is he going to pass on him for, you know, or is he going to take Carmelo and Chris Paul?
This would be like the Bachelor and the Bachelorette of the
right.
NBA.
It'd be unbelievable.
Like, it would be, in terms of, I'm saying it doesn't compare anything they do, just in terms of entertainment value.
Right, like the draft itself would be unbelievable. Then you go through like the regular rookie draft and everything like that.
You'd have to set standards. If you're a second-round pick, you get X amount of salary, et cetera. Like, you could just make all these guidelines.
Right. Well, or just get rid of the salary cap grandfather the salary cap in, kind of like, okay, here's are the existing contracts. It doesn't matter what contract you take because it's a snake draft. So, you know, let's say DeMar DeRozan is the first pick. You know, okay, well, he picks one, and then he picks – what, 33, or no, he'd pick at the end of the second round, the beginning of the third round. So it wouldn't matter who you're taking.
You're saying the reverse thing.
Yeah, just a complete snake draft.
No, I think that would be highly entertaining.
That would be perfect. Like,
take it up with Adam Silver.
Do you know how many, like, petty arguments there would be?
And how much, like, saltiness there would be for boys not picking boys. And
Right.
Trying to prove each other that they're worth a better pick, etc.
Or if someone like falls, like if someone
someone doesn't get picked, like
right,
like, that would be like
they get picked on like the ninth round.
That would be like Dwayne Wade next year. Like, he probably thinks he'd be like a first round pick that gets picked in the sixth round.
Right. So you just take everyone who's currently under contract, or, you know, like a free agent, whoever's currently in the NBA. So you fill out your teams, and then you go through like the 2017 NBA draft and next week.
Yeah, well, let's keep that in our back pocket if we're ever in control of anything, where we can make some executive decisions.
We got to start getting in control of stuff.
We should do our own mock draft. Like,
should we recruit 30 people and do a true like NBA mock draft?
I think that'd be pretty fun. It'd be
everyone draws a name of who they are.
It'd be hard to organize, but it would be pretty fun. It's like a big fantasy league almost.
Right. So everyone just
We'd have to find 30 somewhat experts on basketball.
I think we could.
I'm sure we could.
That would be fun. We might have to save this in our back pocket. If you would listen to this, or or watch it, or however we can figure out how to do this, tweet us and let us know if there would be an audience, because we will look into this. Because I'm obsessed. First off, I'm obsessed with drafts. Like, I love doing drafts. If you do something like this, where there can be like a subjective winner.
So I think we've just made the Fundamentally Sound wish list. Yeah, we have one is still number one on my list. We need to be sponsored by a big baller brand.
Yeah, that's we really need that.
And number two, we want to do a fake mock NBA player draft.
Right. So we would end up being – so the first thing is
– 30 general managers. People. Yeah.
Or no, there'd be 28. There's only 30 – I was thinking about. There's only 30 teams in NBA. So we need 28 other people.
Yeah, this is on the wish list. I mean, we just need to keep it in the back pocket.
And then we draw names of who we are. So, like, you could draw Kevin Durant, and I could draw LeBron or whoever. Or you could draw Kevin Durant, and I could be
like, – No. Why wouldn't we just – because why wouldn't we all just –
Remember my exercise. Well, because we would then create 30 new people, which we don't – like, it'd be make rosters uneven. So, therefore, following my theory of the 30 random – NBA players would be captains. We're essentially drawing who the captains are, and that's who you are. So you draw like, okay, I'm captain, and my, you know, I'm essentially Kevin Durant.
Okay. All right. I'd prefer to have been Steve Kerr drafting my team, but I can settle for being a player and keep.
Yeah, I mean, it's all it is for roster situations.
Okay. All right, well, I want to get into Ohio State and Butler. They kind of tie together in some ways, because Thad Matta came from Butler anyway. But let's start with Thad Matta. I want to get your initial thoughts after you were trying to figure it out when you were gone and got stuck on the ESPN page. What were your thoughts when you found out that Thad was done?
I don't understand why it waited until now.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree with that. And I had been hearing that his health has been getting worse. Like it hasn't been good at all.
Right.
But it's been getting really bad, where he himself expressed concerns about his abilities.
But that wouldn't have changed in a month or less than a month or whatever.
Well, exactly. I'm just saying, like, I've heard that it was bad. But if you heard that, why would you wait until the time period that you did? Right now, because this is a very important time for recruiting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not only that, but think about some of the other openings that had already come open and now closed. Like, they could have made a run at Archie Miller. Like, he is tied to Ohio State because he was an assistant coach there. Maybe if the Ohio State and Thad part ways beforehand, they have now the ability to get Archie Miller. Not that Chris Holtman's a bad hire, but you know, you're talking about a guy like Archie. You talk about maybe you go get like a Will Wade if you prefer him from VCU. There are just a couple other – it just didn't make sense. It makes sense why Thad Matta is no longer the coach at Ohio State. It didn't make sense, the timing.
Yeah, and I agree. But here's the good news for them. It worked out. They got a good coach from – degree and who's done some good things at a good program like Butler, which fits kind of the style and what Thad Matta has developed there at Ohio State. I'm curious to see how Holtman will recruit at Ohio State now that he's got a little more firepower.
Yeah, I mean, he recruited the Tri-State well in terms of Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky while he's at Butler.
Yeah, no, it just didn't make sense to me on the timing. I know we had one question from Twitter. I'm going to pull that up quick.
We had a couple. We got one late from Kyle Boone, who writes over at CBS, who said, what are our thoughts on the Laval Jordan hire? And what do you think – do you think Butler is better off or worse by continuing to hire guys with Butler ties, because Jordan was an assistant coach at Butler before – I think he was there. I think he was there under Stevens.
So I will enlighten everyone on this subject, because I'm very familiar. Brad Stevens, and I've talked about this in the podcast many times, I'm sure. Brad Stevens recruited me when he was at Butler, yep, very heavily. At the time, his assistants were Micah Shrewsbury, who's now the assistant coach at Boston and the Boston Celtics with him. There was what was his name? Crap, I'm blanking on him. Johnson's his last name. But before Brad was coach, Laval Jordan, Joel Cornette were at Butler. They ended up going to be assistants under Todd Licklider at Iowa. So there's this weird Butler connection between Thad Matta, because Thad Matta was before Todd Licklider. Todd Licklider then was before Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens obviously left and in comes Holtman. So there's just this weird ties to everything. And Laval Jordan and Joel Cornette recruited me very heavily when they were at Iowa. So I got to know the both of them very well. And then Laval, once Todd Licklider got fired, went on to coach at Michigan under John Beilein,
yep,
and was a very well-liked assistant. Obviously, he was part of the 2013 team that went to the national championship. He then coached at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee last year for his first year.
That's
took
crazy.
Them took that them is. To the conference championship, and they were like 500 in their first
good.
Year. They weren't good. Took them to the conference championship, and obviously just impressed Butler. And I can see why. He's a down-to-earth guy. He was a Butler guy, and Butler, the Butler way is a real thing.
No, it's very much. It's like the JV Spurs.
In a way, yes. In a way, yes. Just
right.
not
like
at the high.
Spurs light.
It's the Spurs type strategy. Yep. It's just not as high of excellence as the Spurs have, obviously, because the Spurs have won a championship, etc. But it's the exact same type of methodology.
And even like personality wise, they kind of match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if we talked about this at all. Obviously, RIP to Joel Cornette.
Yeah.
Joel was an awesome person. I'm going to go on another story time here. Joel was the reason that I ended up going to commit to Iowa. Excuse me, committing to Iowa. That was a Bud Light burp right there. Joel, when I was on my way out of Iowa on my second visit, Ram got me out of my car and took me into his office, shut the door. And he's like, Ben, we need you. We're on the chopping block. Like, we have not had good years. We need to start getting recruits. We need to produce. This is the stage you want to be in. And he was the reason why I committed to Iowa. Joel is that reason. So and I've talked about this before. Because I committed to Iowa, I labeled myself as a high major player. That when Todd Licklider got fired, many doors opened for me, such as Wisconsin. Wisconsin had recruited me before, but it definitely helped that I committed to a school that they competed against.
Right.
After my college career, when Joel stopped coaching, he joined Priority Sports. He became a little bit of an agent and worked within Priority and did some great things. I signed with BJ Armstrong. Joel, despite me not doing anything with Priority, set up me to do a signing in Wisconsin to make like $2,500. Like, that's just the type of guy that Joel was. And just wanted to give him just some credits, just to talk about how great of a person he was. Really enjoyed getting to know him, and just really sad that all of this has happened. I actually just sent a note over to Jordan Cornette. Jordan Cornette, the all-time leading shot blocker at Notre Dame, is Joel's brother. Jordan's been doing some radio work in Chicago with David Kaplan. They do Cap and Company in the mornings. Sent over a note to Jordan just to share my story and how much Joel had an impact in my life. So honestly, this whole like Butler thing has been really cool for me, because I 90% of my recruiting process thought I was going there. Got to meet a lot of people who are connected with that program, and I'm just really happy for Laval Jordan. I'm going to go to a game in the winter for sure, just to see him again. I saw him a couple weeks ago at the Wisconsin Sports Awards while he was still the coach of Milwaukee. There's my little bit of a rant. I just wanted to share all this because it's been really unique to have it all come together like this, and to get to enjoy some good people landing in some good positions when there's been some hard times and some good times and some ups and downs.
Yeah, and not only that, but when you look at what Butler's been through, when you factor in like the Andrew Smith
Yeah. Dude, Andrew Smith and I were on a visit together.
Really?
Like, that was crazy. Really? And you know where all this happened, too? Lithuania, where I played. Like, this whole thing, this whole Butler thing is, like, weird. It's like almost like an alter ego universe for me. It's been really weird. Like, he played in Lithuania, got sick, flew back, and I just remember sitting next to him. It was Butler versus Youngstown State, because they were still in Horizon League at the time.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
And just getting to know the kid, and obviously it all worked out for everyone and where they went to go to college. But sad on a lot of fronts for Butler, with Joel and Andrew, but happy for Laval. Good for Holtman to end up at Ohio State, and look forward to what's ahead.
But yeah, in terms of to answer Kyle's question of, is Butler better off or worse by continuing to kind of hire guys associated with Butler? I think they're fine. I mean, they've been successful for the last what?
I'm very confused by his question, like how he could how that could even be a question. How could you make the argument that it's not good?
Oh, well, I mean, in some situations there are I definitely agree that going outside does make sense at times. But in this specific case with Butler, it's worked out great for them.
Yeah, it has, and it doesn't always work for everyone. But I'm saying, like, I was just shocked that the question was coming from perspective of Butler when they were a small program. They went to the NCAA title game,
right? But they're not a smaller program anymore. They could have, in all honesty, I like Jordan. I think he's a good coach, but I mean, he's had 1 year as a head coach and wasn't 500. Like, they could have gotten a better / bigger name. But they are just loyal. So that's kind of what – and that's the first thing I thought of too, is, wow, that's who they hired. I mean, it makes sense, but at the same time, it's like, well, who else, you know
– Yeah, I'm not going to – gotten
someone else.
I'm not going to disagree there. Yeah. I mean, they are in the Big East now, and they're a top 25 program year in and year out.
Yep.
That's a job that is going to attract
and look
a very well-established coach, because you're in Indianapolis.
Well, yeah, look where coaches go from Butler.
To the next level, clearly.
Right. Celtics, Ohio State, Iowa.
Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's...
Yeah, two to Ohio State, one to Iowa, and one to...
Well, Natta went Butler to Xavier.
Ah, that's right. He did,
even that,
yeah.
Like, Xavier wasn't the time.
It's a program that's still
right.
Been successful.
Right. So that's where I understand the question. Because it is kind of, especially here too, of, well, is this really the smartest hire? Like, it makes sense. Don't get me wrong. I think I don't hate the hire by any means. I'm just more surprised that they didn't try to find a.
To your point earlier, though, it's so late in the game of this process to find coaches. It's going to be harder to get those prime prospects that you would have got earlier on.
Yeah, yeah, but there's still – I mean, there are still established mid-major coaches that could have made the jump.
No, I don't disagree.
Right.
But
– I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, you're playing devil's advocate, and you're going on from the question that we received. And maybe I am a little biased in the situation, but I have no doubt that Laval will keep this team a top 25 and – top three in the Big East year in, year out.
Because that's the other thing, too. It's like, it's not like he's knows these kids. Like, he didn't recruit these kids. He hasn't been at Butler since 07.
Probably 07, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like, you know, you see some cases where it's the assistant coach who recruited, and, you know, maybe the senior class is now coming back.
Yeah, and you jump in, there's familiarity. No, I mean, he's got a tough job to come in and really get these guys to buy in, but it should be somewhat easier, because I think a lot of the kids that end up going to Butler are the kids that buy into that Butler way anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and they have a nice group coming back too.
They got some pretty good recruits that were signed too, and this is what playing in the Big East does. It helps get recruits to that school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Which is...
Because I didn't go there because they were in the Horizon League.
Right, right. But now you're in one of the major six conferences.
And playing against Marquette, Villanova, Georgetown.
Johns.
I was going to say St. John's too, but I stopped myself, and you said it, not me. They suck still.
They're going to be decent this year.
Well, Seton Hall. I feel like I'm I can't say DePaul.
Creighton.
Creighton.
I mean, you're still playing against schools that everybody knows.
Yeah, you're still playing against power conferences that have a chance to make a run, and that's going to help your resume when you play those teams when trying to get into the tournament.
And then on the flip side, I want to talk about Ohio State. We started talking about it off air because of a question we got on Twitter, which someone asked, is Ohio State really an upgrade from Butler? And the answer is, if you honestly think that it's not that big of an upgrade, you are an idiot. It's the most polite way I can put it.
Yeah, Ohio State, just as a university, like they're like a nationally known school for athletics. You know what I mean? They're like a hub for football, obviously. But they had a run where they had Greg Oden, Mike Conley, Daquan Cook, like a school like Penn State is only a football school. A school like Ohio State can be a football school and get those same type of recruits for basketball because they are the Ohio State University.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a great coaching job. Like coaches have said, and I've talked to people that know this stuff too, it is a top 15 national job. Now, it's not a top 15 program, but it's a top 15 coaching job. Same thing I think we talked about this before a couple episodes ago with like Texas. Texas is a top 5 coaching job. It's nowhere near a top 5 program.
Or that's a top 25 program for that matter.
Yeah, right. But that's how Ohio State is. Ohio State's easily a top 15.
Yeah, it's a job that when you're coming out of Butler, like you still would maybe go to Texas because of
absolutely. Yeah, you absolutely, because schools like Texas and Ohio State, it is, you have a ton of money at your disposal. You have all the amenities in the world.
Your resources, exactly.
You have a strong, strong recruiting ground. Like, Ohio is a strong recruiting area. Texas, unbelievable recruiting area. The ability to bring in the money from the football program does go to the basketball program. So it's like, you know, they have all the amenities. They have all the nicest locker rooms and strength and conditioning areas, weight rooms. It's a
no doubter.
Right.
It's a no doubter that is an upgrade.
Every Butler fan has to understand. You may not like it, but you have to understand it.
And that's a good point. Like, I wonder what it's like to be a Butler fan. Like, you're always gonna be. I feel like I may get some heat for this, but I feel like it's a step down from being a Wisconsin fan. Programs run in a similar manner have had success.
So pretty similar success.
Yeah, they made a national championship, two back-to-back finals as well. But it's still like the school-wise and the presence that it brings. It's still a little tiny 4,000 private school Butler.
Yeah.
And we're 40,000 Wisconsin Madison with two lakes, capital city. A football and basketball program that never miss the playoffs and compete for Big Ten titles and have a chance to play in the NCAA tournament every year.
But they're also, again, they're also in downtown Indianapolis.
No, they're like 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes
off. I mean,
it's a 4,000 people private school.
Right.
Like, it was pretty boring.
You're in Indianapolis. You're competing for NCAA tournaments every year. Now, granted, you know, the football, but that's where, like we said, the Big East helps. But in terms of Ohio State, I want to stick with Ohio State. It's easily, like, there are not many jobs you leave to take or that would take you away from Ohio State is what I should say.
Yeah, like, because it's such a high up, quote-unquote, job, you're going to have to what? But I don't even think you leave. Because if you make Ohio State as big as you make it, to that top level, why leave to go anywhere else?
You only leave for one of the blue bloods. Like, you would leave Ohio State for Kentucky, Carolina.
You would leave for Duke,
Carolina,
UNC, exactly, UCLA. Kansas. I agree. Like, those are like the only five jobs I would say you leave for.
Right. So it's one of those, and so me and you talked about this beforehand, and I think it was a good conversation while we were recording. The Big Ten has a lot of good jobs, like in terms of coaching jobs.
It's a good conference with good universities that have resources and money.
Well, there's a lot of job protection there too. You know, like if you take a job at, and it mostly like thing like ACC basketball. Like, look at Clemson. Like, Clemson has gotten pretty on edge with, like, Brad Browning. And is Clemson a great basketball school? No.
But no, not at all. But they're okay. Right. Yeah, no, it's different. It's different when it's the Big Ten. I completely agree.
Right. So that's where we started listing just job, like, from coaching standpoint only, jobs in the Big Ten. And I think we agree on the top six. I think we agree pretty much on all of it, with maybe swap one or two, you know, each direction.
I think it goes in segments. Like, I think the top three, you could kind of maybe swap them. And then the next 4 to 6, you could maybe swap.
Right.
And then seven to the rest, maybe you could blend in. But 7 and 8 are like Illinois.
Seven set in Illinois. I think we both agree Indiana's number one.
Yes. Agree.
And I think we both agree Maryland's number two.
Indiana, Maryland, Ohio, Michigan. Oh, I'm thinking this is where we're going to disagree. This is where 3, 4, and 5 are interchangeable.
Right. It's Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan in that 3, 4, 5.
I would say Michigan State. No, see, but now I'm kind of going against myself with this Ohio State thing, because I'm getting caught up in the moment right now.
The thing with Michigan State is we haven't seen, like, we've only seen two coaches at Michigan State. We've seen Judd Heathcote and Tom.
But exactly why it's a job that I even put an argument for them in the top. I'm going to go completely different than you for a second. I almost agreed too much off the air. I'm going to go Indiana, Michigan State, Maryland, Michigan.
I disagree. I think Maryland.
Ohio State. Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa. Who am I missing? I'm missing somebody. Like, then it's like Minnesota, Penn State, Nebraska. Northwestern, Nebraska, Rutgers. Yeah, it's like the best of the worst.
Rutgers, Nebraska, Northwestern, I think, are the bottom
three. Or just the worst.
Just because Northwestern, just because you have to deal with academics and kind of being like the secondary school in your own state with Illinois.
If you guys disagree with mine, let me know what you think. Riggs, go ahead and do yours. I think it's just our top six that are different.
I have Indiana 1, Maryland 2, Ohio State 3, Michigan State 4, Michigan 5, Wisconsin 6.
Yeah, so I think 6 through the rest were the same. It's just, what are the top 5 jobs in the Big Ten?
Yeah, because we even agreed Wisconsin was 6, too. So it was really just the top 5 that we kind of moved around.
Correct.
So what was your top 5 again?
Indiana. So it's 2
we
through
5. Indiana, yeah.
It's 2 through 5. And then I said Michigan State. And then I said Maryland. Then I said Michigan. And then I said Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean, I almost put Maryland number 1. Just because they have the whole Under Armour deal, they probably have they might have the strongest recruiting ground. And then again, some job protection. They're never gonna be terrible. Like, even when like Maryland was considered bad, they're still making like NITs and stuff. Like, just missing, like, on the bubble.
Yeah, but that's not good enough for.
No, but if that's your floor, like, I'm talking like, if that's your floor, that's a pretty good floor to have.
Yeah, but the floor for Wisconsin is not NIT.
Is it, though? Like,
I mean, since 2000, we've made the tournament every year. That's 17 straight years.
Right, but I'm just saying. But Wisconsin also doesn't have the recruiting ground. They also don't have the amenities, and they don't have Under Armour.
Yeah, they do.
Not Maryland Under Armour.
Not Maryland Under Armour, but it's the second in the Big Ten. It's above Northwestern.
Oh, well, I mean, that's not hard to be. All right, so we're switching from ranking Big Ten coaching jobs again. We want to hear your top six in order because everyone agrees that – actually, we'll go top seven because we agree that Illinois, because they're – I feel like Illinois could always be a little bit better of a coaching job than what it is. Because
it just hasn't been recently.
Right, because you do have Chicago. You do have some history. You do have famous names, all that stuff. You have the recruiting ground.
But time out. People are – if you're listening, you have to wonder why that transition was just so awkward, right?
It was not good.
So about like – yeah, about 20 minutes into it, I texted Riggs. I was like, do we have the ability to pause? And then I just like about 5 minutes ago, I texted him, emergency, pause as soon as possible. And I just took the biggest shit ever.
Yeah, the funny thing is right now on our Skype, the advertisement for me is a toilet wand. No joke.
Is it?
Oh, no, yeah, no, like right above your name too, which makes it even funnier.
Yeah, it was such an emergency. I was like, I'm sure you've had a shit that like comes, feels like you got a shit so bad, and then like it goes away. Well, that one went away, and it came back stronger than it was before, and I was like, I'm out. I got to pause.
That was the first bathroom break we've taken in 12 episodes. I think it's allowed.
I think I've taken a piss once. I just muted it.
Yeah. So back to shitty was actually very funny. The Foot Locker commercial that got released today. With our future sponsor brother.
Sponsor brother. Yeah, like what is he? He's not really like the guy who's going to be
sponsor teammate.
Yeah, a big baller brother.
Yeah, our big baller brother.
But we're not a brother. Like, we're not one of the balls. Well, no, we are. You're LaBobby and I'm LaBette.
Yeah, we can be. Like,
we can be. Yeah, we could start a thing where if you're part of the big baller brand, you have to put a LA in front of your name.
Right. I mean, I'll change my last name. What's the matter? I just had my wife change hers.
LaBobby's fine.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. So
LaBobby Regan.
If you haven't seen it yet, I'm sure you have, but if you haven't seen it yet, look at the Foot Locker commercial that came out today for Father's Day. Shout out to our dads for having us. But it was, Darren Fox, Jason Tatum, Jonathan Isaac are kind of sitting there and talking about how, you know, they remember playing one-on-one against their dad and how they're always there and all that stuff. And then Lonzo sits down and he's just like, yeah, I'll never forget the time my dad berated the high school coach, got in spats with all-time greats, went on First Take and berated people.
Yep. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
It was fantastic. Like,
you know why I did? Because finally, you know, Lonzo came out and showed some personality.
You're right. It was the first This Is Lonzo Ball being Lonzo Ball.
But it almost confuses me even more now. You know? Like, why is Lonzo kind of cool? And why is his dad just such a whack?
I mean, I think it kind of comes with the territory. Like, letting loose a little bit. Like, it's... And honestly, like, not playing devil's advocate, but looking at the other side of it, it was great publicity.
No, it totally was. And this is why we are big baller brand guys.
Yeah.
I said this last time. They are like the Donald Trumps of the world. They know how to just market and get people to talk about them and be the center of attention. Right. And I respect it.
Right, because LeVar was obviously in on that. Like, it wasn't like a surprise commercial or anything like that. Quick side note, Foot Locker commercials have been extremely funny over the last, 2 years. They did D'Angelo Russell throwing the phone out the window last year.
Yeah, that was pretty good last year.
They had the Landon Donovan, getting cut commercial after the World Cup fiasco from a couple years ago.
I couldn't tell you the last time I stepped in a Foot Locker, though.
Oh, no, I mean, when do you ever go to a mall? You know what my mall is? My computer.
I was going to say, I'm probably not the target market.
No, but they're great commercials. I mean, you can just order shoes online through Foot Locker.
So maybe it's definitely been good brand enhancements for them.
Yeah, so you had that one. I mean, there was even a Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham one that was really good after Beckham's rookie year. So Foot Locker, like, I don't know, whoever's in charge of Foot Locker's, like, creative side and commercial side, they deserve
brilliant.
A raise. They deserve
Yeah, they deserve a raise. They're creative. They take what is, like, relevant in today's society and make it enjoyable for just about anybody.
Well, not only that, but they convince these guys to do these commercials. Like, it can't be the easiest thing to convince, you know, a guy like Lonzo Ball to, like, kind of blast his dad.
Yeah, make fun of your dad on TV, bro.
Right, right. Like, not only that, but it can't be easy to convince, like...
Who knows? He probably got a spanking for it.
I mean, maybe. But either way, like, it's... It was a great commercial.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it because it was finally some personality. It was finally him talking for once instead of just being not in the spotlight and hearing about his dad. Is the other brother,
LiAngelo's a freshman this year.
LiAngelo's going to be a freshman this year.
Yeah.
He was only a three-star recruit, so I'm excited to see.
He's the worst of the three.
He's the worst of the three, but I'm excited to see him play and see if he even plays at all.
I'm sure he'll probably be like, you know, like the eighth man.
Is that going to go over well with BBB?
I mean, do they have an option?
I don't think so anymore.
Right. Like, what's the other option?
Well, the other option is that because they sent Lonzo there, they probably negotiated that LiAngelo would play. And who knows what's going to happen to LaMelo.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's going to get minutes. He's just not – I mean, he's not Lonzo.
No, he's not Lonzo at all. Do you think Lonzo's going to get drafted by the Lakers? Because now there's reports about him being out of shape.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of smoke. I mean, there's always smoke and mirrors this time of the year of teams trying to, like, there's always someone trying to, like, release this information to either have a guy fall or to draw up value to jump up to, you know, the number two pick or something like that. But I still think he goes to the Lakers.
Yeah, if anything, all this, like, is he going to go there, is he going to go there, could help, like, the BBB brand and the publicity. And it just makes for a bigger story now when he does get drafted by the Lakers.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's his name's going to be out there. I think he goes there.
Oh, here's a question that I got today that I wanted to make sure we touched on. What do the Bucks need to draft in order to – Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did. I remember this one now.
I don't know. Was it in order to make the next jump of the playoffs?
Well, they need to draft LeBron James for that. Because until
he's to make a deeper run in the playoffs. So to make a deeper run, that's right, fair. That's fine.
No,
that's
fine. That's completely fair. They need someone who can get their own bucket because
exactly. Chris Middleton is a good player, but he's obviously been unreliable and hurt too much. They need a scorer.
Yeah, so they're picking – they have the 17th pick right now. That's kind of a weird spot because that's going to be a lot of, like, that group of bigs when you look at, like, Zach Collins, John Collins, Jared Allen, Justin Patton, Harry Giles, Bam Adebayo, Ike Anubogu.
But I don't think they need that. So who are some
– That run is all going to happen around that time.
So exactly. So who are those guards – that are like plug-and-play type guys right away?
I like Terrence Ferguson. I think he'll be available there at 17. I really liked Luke Kennard for them, but Kennard's kind of shooting up the draft boards a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think he's there for them, but I agree. Like, if the Bucks somehow got Kennard, he'd be really, really good on that team.
Kennard would be a good fit. If they want to go guard, I think Terrence Ferguson is the pick. Now TJ Leaf would not be the worst pick there either. Because TJ Leaf is good offensively.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not what they need though. He's not a guy like where they draft them like, yeah, we can make a deeper run.
But at 17, how many guys are there that like you're not drafting like a franchise changing guy at 17 unless somebody breaks out, like a Kawhi Leonard breaks out. Yeah. You're not, but again,
that still took time for him to break out.
Right.
As well.
Well, when you drafted Kawhi Leonard, like, you know, when Spurs got Kawhi Leonard, it's not like, oh, we got our franchise player for the next decade. So 17 is a weird spot because you're not really drafting a guy, like, you're not in the Celtics position where.
Yeah, you know, that's why the question is tough because it's like, I don't know if the answer is to draft somebody to help make them get in a deeper run.
Right. So, me, it's Terrence Ferguson if you want a guard, if you want someone else. I think TJ Leaf's a good fit there.
Well, you had tweeted that Justin Jackson to the Knicks was your nightmare. Yes. Please explain why.
Because he is not nearly worth the 8th overall pick. I mean, he's already 22 years old. They need to be building around Kristaps Porzingis, who is younger than Justin Jackson. They need a lot more help on the wing or at the point guard position.
He's a perfect wing.
Just take Malik Monk, who is better and younger. Like, you will either get Malik Monk or Dennis Smith. Take one of those two.
I guess I see too much potential in Justin Jackson. You're looking way too much at the age thing. Like, 22 versus 19, give me a break, dude.
But if there are similar players, you always take the younger guy. You have more time with them.
You have more time with them, but I just think the tangibles that Justin Jackson has versus Malik Monk just fits the NBA style more.
How?
Malik Monk can shoot, right? But Justin Jackson can curl, float, hit a jump shot in rhythm, defend with his length. I just don't see that with Monk.
I don't know. I have a lot more questions about Jackson than I do Monk.
I think we've had these same question, like we've had this debate back and forth on Jackson. I don't know. I see high NBA potential with him, so I wouldn't be surprised with it. I don't think it'd be as big of a nightmare.
I think it'd be the worst pick.
I hope it happens so I can prove you wrong.
I was on with Sam Vecenie earlier today. Check out Game 3 podcast. He's a good friend of the program. And we were talking about the Knicks, and he was like, yeah, if they draft Justin Jackson, they're getting a D-.
Again, all you draft experts, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in the grading until after the fact.
But just take Dennis Smith if he's there, and then take Malik Monk if Dennis Smith is gone. It's too easy. It's too easy.
If Phil does it, it would be very Phil of him to do, though.
I hate Phil so much.
And I also just like talking about your teams because it gets you all riled up.
Yeah. But back to the Bucks, they also have pick 48. They could get creative there because, like, Draft Express is PJ Dozier going there with Tyler Dorsey going 47 and Devin Robinson going 49. Like,
so you're saying pick like a older, like, upperclassman who's produced.
There's some guards that are available there.
Yeah, some, like, scoring guards that produced at the college level as, like, juniors and seniors that, you know, you plug in and they just have scoring experience.
Yeah, not necessarily that. Just if you want to go Leaf at 17, take a guard at 48.
You're thinking more long-term projects for the Bucks. I'm thinking, like, who's a guy that produced that you just say go get buckets because you've done it your whole career. Go. I don't think at that point you're picking for longevity. You're picking for who can I take a risk on that could go get 30 a game in summer league and we want him on our roster and becomes the next big thing.
Well, I mean, what's the difference between taking a freshman or a senior? Like, if the senior was that good, why didn't he get drafted earlier?
Again, I'm saying a guy who made a run, like a guy. I think a guy like Dorsey, who has made a good run at the latter half of his career.
He's only a sophomore.
Like, he is young. That's right.
Dozier is only a sophomore.
I'm trying to find a good example.
Like Frank Mason is who you're thinking of, pretty much.
Yeah, Frank Mason's a more of a guy I'm thinking of. A guy who's produced and averaged points, won't be scared of the moment, played in the big program, played in big games, goes to summer league, and does exactly what he did in summer league as he did as a senior in college. That's the type of guy that the Bucks want, that they can plug in and enhance their team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think like a Dozier or a Dorsey might make more sense, especially with what the Bucks like to do with like a lot of like length. Like Dorsey brings a lot of length with you, as does Dozier brings even more length. I mean, the Bucks love, like, you know, you look at like Giannis, you look at Henson, you look at.
They don't need any more length.
But that's their MO. They like drafting guys with length.
Could you imagine the three that you just said in in the Syracuse Boeheim zone.
Yeah.
That would be so fun to go against. So that's the bottom, right? So you got Jabari, Giannis, and Henson. Who would be – it doesn't have to be from the Bucks. I'm just saying, who are some young guys with length that would be, like, perfect at the top?
Let's see. Who does have
– forget young guys. I think Sean Livingston at
Zach
the top.
Zach LaVine,
Sean Livingston are the two guards. You got Henson, you got Giannis, and you got – I mean, we could use Jabari, but I think we could find a better wing.
Oh, there are plenty better wings.
There's so many. But I'm just – we have these tight players that are so long for their position that we're using as examples.
Right.
So who's another long wing? Like a Tyrus Thomas type for the wing.
Yeah, I mean – well, like Kevin Durant,
kinda. But he's too good.
Long.
Yeah, he's super long. He's not what I'm thinking of. I don't even know what I'm thinking of, but I'm thinking of it.
I get what you're saying. Like, I'm trying to think like a Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, like a Kelly Oubre type.
Yeah, that'd be
but longer and taller and like in a weirder way.
Right.
I'll have to think about the fifth one, but could you imagine that 2-3 zone of Sean Livingston, Zach LaVine at the top?
That would be
Giannis could even be at the top. Yeah. No, he'd be a really good wing.
Yeah,
Giannis would be a really good wing.
Giannis, you're on the wing.
Henson would be a really good center guy.
I mean, Durant would be perfect on the wing.
Durant would be great on the wing too. Now that I think about it, I think it'd be fun to get Boeheim's 2-3 zone with some just freakishly long people, because it's already crazy in college. I just want to think, you take the longest of the long, this is getting to sound weird, put them in 2-3 zone. And now I'm all over the place, and I think we've hit our time's quota anyways that we're looking for today.
Yeah, so.
That's good.
My brain's still mush anyways from this.
Yeah, we're all mush right now. It's been a while. Food for thought, though, on a couple things. Food for thought on the zone. Let's just, I want to ask this question for the zone. Give me your Boeheim best 2-3 zone. Of NBA players, and give me your top seven.
Top seven.
Big Ten jobs.
Right. And remember, not programs, coaching jobs.
Coaching jobs.
Because it's different. That is your programs, a lot different ranking.
That is your fundamentally sound food for thought.
So tweet us your answers at fundamentally sound PD.
PD, come on.
I always give out the wrong one.
Gosh.
It's fundamentally
embarrassing.
I know. I always give out the wrong one. Fundamentally SD. Tweet us at fundamentally SD your answers. Follow the show. Go to iTunes, rate, review, all that good stuff. Subscribe. That helps us grow the rankings, helps us grow on the back end. That's what really kind of draws iTunes stuff, our subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We can't continue to grow without your help. So please keep doing helping do that. Follow us on Twitter on our personal pages. Ben, anything else?
Yeah, I forgot to mention, like, this all just happened a couple hours ago, but there's a pro-am going on in Madison for the next 6 weeks, starting tomorrow. And Jordan Taylor's got a rehab since he just got back from being overseas. So the first day is tomorrow, and I'm driving up after work at, like, 4 o'clock. My game's at 7, so I got to drive 2 hours, get out of the car, and play against all the current college kids, like Hap, and I know Showalter's playing in it, and all the players on Wisconsin right now. And then I was curious if you would know a lot of these. A lot of them are just former Wisconsin guys, or I know Wesley Matthews is playing. He's got a team.
Marquette team.
No, he's not a Marquette team. He's a Madison guy. So on my team, I have Ethan Happ. Man, all these kids. Two walk-ons on Wisconsin. That sucks. No offense to Mason Ballard if they hear this. And then Quinton Smith was – I got three walk-ons. Come on. Walk-on love. We're playing Roy Boone. If you know him, he put it together. Mike Wilkinson, pretty good Big Ten player.
Yeah.
Zach Morley.
I remember the name.
And then Team Matthews is Wes, Zach Showalter, Wayne Johnson, LaVon Crawford. I don't know any of these guys. Then you got – I'm skipping all the
all the current players. Jaron Maimon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keaton Nankerville. So those would be the highlighted guys that are older, that are playing it. So I'm excited to go play tomorrow and see what I got. I've been playing in a Thursday league where I drink before and after.
Oh God.
So this is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, slightly.
I almost feel like I need to drink before so I'm not out of whack.
Just get a couple Bud Lights in you?
I try to do vodka before I play. Oh. Bud Light's a little heavy.
So we need, we need to get a vodka sponsor. Dude.
Tito's American made. I'm an American guy.
I enjoy Tito's too, so.
Are we adding them to the Fundamentally Sound wish list yet?
I
mean, or?
I will send, how about this, any alcohol sponsor we will add to the Fundamentally Sound wish list.
Fundamentally Sound wish list is now Big Baller Brand. I already forgot our second one that we talked about today. What was that? We are so mush right now.
I know. I'm a zombie. What the hell was it?
I don't know. It's pissing me off.
If you remember what we wanted, tweet us it.
Please. Oh, gosh. This is terrible. And then the third one is alcohol sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
We got to think of this. What was the second one? Second wish list.
I really don't remember.
Golly. All right. Well, that's it. That's the Fundamentally South podcast.
Follow Fundamentally SD.
Fundamentally SD. We're done.
We're done. It's Reeks. We're out of here.
We're out of here.